The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. 6 minutes past nine, Tuesday, the 4th of April, 2023. How are you keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed this morning. And we want your company for the next 3 hours. We're going to keep you informed, entertained, loads to talk about. We're in the garden, actually, for the first time for the year, by the way. So if you're looking out, if you're lucky enough to have a house in this day and age, but if you're lucky enough to have a bit of grass or whatever out the front or some planting pots or whatever it might be, maybe you want to use the little extra time you might have over Easter to get cracking. Is it the right time to do so? We've got a bit of frost coming overnight later in the week. But anyway, we are going to be in the garden answering your questions. So if you've any of them, come into us on 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts, or give us a call on 07491 25000. Community Garden information, where you'll hear all the latest appeals and information from Mongatish Yukana first here live on the 9 till noon show. That's just after 10. That and so much more besides. And whatever you want to talk about as well. Comments come into us at comments@highlandradio.com. And you can watch the programme. Maybe you have, you're at home for Easter or what have you. Maybe you've taken time off to be with the children, whatever it might be. Well, you can open up your smart TV. Most people have them now. Go to the YouTube app, search Highland Radio Ireland, or Facebook Watch. Though it's disappearing off the Fire Stick for some reason. But anyway, you can watch the show there or on your tablet, your laptop, on our website, highlandradio.com. It's just more ways to keep you informed. There's captions on the stream as well for those who are hard of hearing and want to stay up to date with what's happening around the Northwest and beyond as well. It's local, regional, national and international. Let's go to the Derry Journal this morning. There were only 57 properties available to let in Donegal as the ban on evictions ended on Friday. The lack of rental housing supply in the county was highlighted by independent TD for South Sligo, for Sligo Leach from South Donegal, Marion Harkin, who told the Dáil last week it was a particular problem in the Northwest. Ms. Harkin said, according to daft.ie this evening, that was last Tuesday, there are now just 15 places to let in Sligo, which is six fewer than were available a week ago. In Donegal, the number is 57, which is the same as last week, while the number of houses available in Roscommon is 12, which is one less than a week ago. So there is a severe lack of property for long-term rents here in the Northwest, in Donegal, 57 available. That being said, not wishing to upset anyone in the market, there are currently, even with the Easter holidays on and people already visiting the county, there are currently 1,000 full homes to rent in Donegal on a short-term basis on Airbnb, 1,000 homes. Now, those aren't rooms. Those are a mixture of small houses, townhouses, big houses, chalets. There's a number of them, about 70-odd of them. But over 1,000 houses to rent in Donegal in April, if you want to do it for a week, 2 weeks. But there is 57 if you need a house over your head for a long term. Is that right or wrong? I don't know what the answer to that is. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps or texts. I mean, it's people's property. Are they entitled to do with it what they wish? The Donegal Democrat, they're covering the story. Comments from the chair of the Regional Health Forum West. The chair has described as shocking that the report into flooding, which occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital in 2013 and 2014, has not been made available to the public. Sinn Féin Councillor Jerry McMonagall was informed that legal advice has been sought as to the publication of that report. Let's go to the Nationals now. And I mean, obviously, I don't see how it ends. Housing is the big story on the front page of most of the papers this morning. The majority of notices to quit in the last quarter of 2022 were given by landlords intending to sell their property amid projections that the private rental sector will shrink further this year. Some 2,513 notices out of an overall 4,329 were issued for this reason, accounting for almost 60% of the total, according to figures revealed by the Residential Tenancies Board. Though it must be said, there is quite a chunk of those that are going to remain in the rental market. Now, when we talk about 4,329 notices to quit, though, that isn't individuals, that's properties. So, you know, that figure could be 20, 30,000 for all we know. There are going to be people in properties on their own, but there are going to be others, families of six, even more perhaps. Well, anyway, the figure, they say, will increase pressure on the government to prevent the wave of notices translating into a surge in homelessness and to make good on its promises to support both landlords and renters. Estate agent Sherry Fitzgerald predicted yesterday that 15,000 tenancies could be lost from the private rental sector this year. Now, are you someone affected by that? Have you been given a notice to quit? What does it mean to you? Why don't you help us get the story out there and help people understand the reality of this situation? 086 60 25,000. That's your WhatsApps and texts, or call 07491 25,000. Is this the reality facing you? Maybe you might want to share your story, as I say, to help the general population understand what exactly is going on. Again, if you are a landlord exiting the market, and we have heard from them over the last couple of weeks, maybe you want to explain the reasons as to why, and why maybe you feel that the system is unfair to you. On to the Irish Independent now, and the state is being sued over two cases of alleged misdiagnoses of fatal fetal abnormalities which resulted in abortions. It was confirmed yesterday. This is a very uncomfortable story. The cases have been lodged with the State Claims Agency. There has also been 133 alleged adverse instances reported since January 1st, 2018 to February 28th this year relating to termination of pregnancy. The figures were provided in a parliamentary response to Aintu TD Pádraig Tobin. A previous case arising out of a misdiagnosis at the National Maternity Hospital was settled in the High Court in June 2021. It comes as a review of Health Regulations of Terminations of Pregnancy Act 2018 has been completed and is being examined by the Department of Health. It's expected to recommend that the mandatory 3-day waiting period for women having a medical abortion be relaxed. Meanwhile, in a series of parliamentary responses, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly said a review is also underway to decide if remote consultation for women seeking a medical abortion with their doctor introduced during the pandemic should become permanent. But the headline story there is two cases being taken. Now, that doesn't mean it represents every case that happened, but two cases being taken by people who had abortions as a result, they say, of a misdiagnosis of a fatal fetal abnormality. On to the Irish Daily Mail now, and the most recent car buying figures have been released, and they show that the number of new electric vehicles sold so far this year was up nearly 50% on a year ago. A total of 3,421 new electric vehicles rolled off forecourts in March, compared with 1,924 in the same month last year. The sharp increase may be related to the fact that the grant towards buying an electric car is being cut by 30%. Currently, the maximum grant to is 5,000, but from July 1st, it'll be 3,500. I don't believe that's got anything to do with it. I think if you're buying an EV, you're not going to rush out and buy one in March because you'll save €1,500. I really don't think that's the case. But anyway, that's what the paper concludes. So far this year, 9,303 new electric cars have been registered. That's a 49% increase on the same period in 2022. According to new statistics from the Society of the Irish Motor Industry, there were 58,000 odd new car sales in the first 3 months of the year. It's 16% ahead of a year ago. But petrol and diesel, let's see where the breakdown goes. Petrol continues to remain dominant at almost one in three new cars. So for those of you buying cars, a third of you buy petrol. Diesel, still pretty popular, 22%. Hybrid, 20.6%. Electric, 16%. Plug-in hybrids, 8%. So in real terms, the sales so far this year, when you cut through all of the gobbledygook, 16% of new car sales so far this year, electric, all electric. 33% petrol, 22% diesel. So electric still well behind diesel. And then when you get into plug-in hybrids and hybrids, I think that's a different kettle of fish, and I'm glad to see those figures are being separated out clearly there. Your grocery bills, everyone's noticed it, haven't you? I think everyone's had the conversation in the house after coming back from your shop or getting your shopping delivered, which more people seem to be doing now than ever, that you just don't seem to be getting as much bang for the buck anymore. That bill that would have been 80 is now 120, or it feels like that, or if you're of a bigger family, the bill that was 150 is now 200. Have you felt that? 086 60 25,000. And I want to say this one more time again. The cost of food is driving inflation. The increase in the price of food is driving inflation. And normally, profits, the company's profits account for about a third in terms of contributing to inflation on food prices. Okay, at the moment, it's two thirds. So what that means, effectively, unless someone proves me wrong, is that a lot of the shops, many of the shops, particularly the big boys, I suppose, that have most of the market, they're making more now than they ever did. Their profits are having a far bigger influence on inflation, which I think should be noted, and I think it's something they need to look at. But the cost of the annual groceries continues to soar, with analysts warning homes now face over €1,200 more than last year. A data firm that monitors grocery market share in Ireland warned in February that families' yearly bills would be €1,100 more than in 2022. But it released new figures yesterday to show costs are now estimated to rise by €1,211 if shoppers do not change their shopping habits. Amid the ongoing cost of living crisis, the Kantar company revealed that grocery price inflation rose again last month to reach 16.8%, up from 16.4% in February. A spokesperson said grocery inflation continues to rise and now stands at the figure I mentioned, 16.8. I don't know why they put so many figures in articles, because people just, you lose interest then. There's no need for the numbers and the percentage. Give us one or other and put it into context somewhere else in the article. But anyway, bottom line is €1,200 of an increase in your shopping bill, which is incredibly significant. That could be the holiday that you're scrimping and scraving for, scrimping and saving for, you know, a short break somewhere. And now you can't do it because of the price of food going up. And as I say, quite a lot of that increase is an increase in profits. It's not all about their input costs and blah, 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 blah. You know, they could give us back a bit more, I think. Some do quite well on that, by the way. I'm not lumping everyone into the same basket, pun intended, but you know what I mean. Another big problem here, Irish Daily Mirror. And it's not a big problem if it doesn't affect you, right? So if you don't need to do a driving test, or if you don't have someone in your house that is waiting to get a driving test, this doesn't matter. You don't, who cares, right? But if you've got a young person that wants to get to and from work, or if you yourself have been offered a job and you need to be driving to get to and from work because of our poor public transport network, you're going to have to wait forever. It's crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. There's companies being paid a fortune to provide this service, and it's just accepted that people have to wait 20 weeks, 5 months. Can you imagine? 5 months from application until you get your driving test. That's absolutely unbelievable. It's a disgrace. Well, wait times of nearly a year to sit driving tests are steering learners away from the road. Instructor Kevin Horgan, who has more than 28 years of experience, said the problem would get worse before it gets better. Figures released to RTE from the Road Safety Authority said the average time to get an invitation for the driving test was 20 weeks. But Kevin said for a busier centre such as Talla, South Dublin, it was significantly longer. Mr. Horgan, who founded the Lady Bird Driving School, told the Irish Mirror the RSA needs to increase testing capacity. And damn right they need to as well. So you can imagine the excitement of getting your theory, getting your lessons in. I mean, we have to do these lessons now, which probably makes sense, but they're of great expense, even though, you know, you can't go out in the frost and the ice or at night. But anyway. And then you're waiting to get on the road, probably for work or whatever, and there's nothing you can do either. You can't appeal. The only time you can get any way fast-tracked is if you are a HSE employer, or you work in a care setting, you can apply to get fast-tracked, but not to go into from work. It's only if you drive at work. You have to drive at work. Anyway, so all bets are off after Daniel O'Donnell exclusively ruled himself out of the running for the Late Late Show. By coincidence, perhaps, maybe not, all bets are off, because Claire Byrne is a near cert to become the next presenter of the Late Late Show. The talent pool in this country must be, and I have no problem with Claire Byrne, by the way, and I think she's immensely talented, but the talent pool in this country must be A, incredibly shallow, so there's only three people capable of doing any job for RTE, the company that you out there pay for, that you provide, you pay for it, or they're in a bubble down there and they don't want to see. Maybe there's someone excellent working for Cork Red FM or Shannonside I don't know, wherever. Maybe there's a blogger or someone on the internet that could do a fantastic job for this. But instead, what do? They look at the same familiar two or three faces and they pick out of that. I mean, and everyone just accepts it because it's... Anyway, Claire Byrne is a dead cert to become the next presenter of The Late Late Show. Bookies have stopped taking bets on the star to take over from Ryan Tubridy after his shock decision to quit. Ladbrokes said there was a rush of bets placed on Claire despite her super slim odds of 1-3 before they pulled the market yesterday. But let me tell you, Claire Byrne will take over, and through no fault of her own, the ratings will go through the floor, because we live in a very different world now. The ratings will go through the floor, and that show will be scrapped in its current form after the next season. Mark my words, Tuesday, 4th of April, 2023. She'll have one season at it, and it will be either scrapped in its current form or scrapped altogether. All right, then, we have our own show to do here. Let's worry about that. Back doing it after this break. Now, some of you will be off Good Friday. Others may not. It is a public holiday for some, not for others. Senator Marie Sherlock wants the playing fields leveled. She's Labour's works rights spokesperson and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Marie.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good to have you with us. I'm good, thank you. Right, so you believe the current situation is unfair. So how are people differentiated as it relates to being off or on?
Yeah, and look, Greg, I suppose, you know, the first point to say is this is about a basic fairness and equality for all workers. I think every Good Friday there is a confusion about whether it is a public holiday or not. And obviously 20 years ago almost everything was shut on Good Friday, but it has evolved very dramatically to a situation now where in some sectors it's a normal day of operation, like in retail or hospitality, and in other sectors, let's say like the banks, They were closed last Good Friday. I presume they'll be closed this Good Friday. We know the public libraries will be closed, and there are other state institutions that will close as well. And there's a basic inconsistency here. And I suppose my primary concern is that we spent a lot of the time during the pandemic talking about wanting to recognise the previously unseen workers, let's say like retail workers, frontline workers, security workers, cleaners, and to be honest, very little has been done for them now, 3 years on since the start of the pandemic. And they're the people who have to go to work on Friday, whereas there's lots of people in higher income jobs who actually have the benefit of a day off. And I think, you know, as you say, we want to level the playing field, make sure it's a public holiday. And if people have to go and work on that Friday, then they are recognised in respect of the public holiday and paid accordingly.
That, of course, has a significant impact on already struggling businesses, though, doesn't it? You know, it's not just the stroke of a pen with no consequence and, you know, everyone's treated equal. There is a significant impact on business, especially heading into maybe the tourism season. If it's starting now, start of a long weekend, you know yourself.
Well, I suppose this is the thing. Like, as in Good Friday is a unique day in that, you know, there is a very significant chunk of workers that are off, so they get to enjoy our villages, towns and cities in a way that those who are working don't get to. So there is, on one hand, additional business in certain sectors, or an increase in trade in certain sectors. And of course, the Easter Bank Holiday weekend has always been, you know, a very busy time, particularly in retail and hospitality, or in hospitality at least. And I suppose the key issue is, like, are the workers working in that sector who tend to be low paid, are they being recognised accordingly? So first and foremost, and I always say this, like, as in, you know, my primary interest is that businesses are open, because if businesses are not open, then there are no jobs and people don't have livelihoods. So that is number one. But number two, people have to live as well. And the key issue now, and we're seeing it, not like, you know, I'm based here in Dublin, but I know even in parts of Donegal, there is, like, as in, you know, shortages in terms of places to rent, affordability issues. And how do we support particularly low wage workers? And I suppose this comes back to the point that they have to go out and work a normal day on Friday, whereas many of the rest of us, it's treated like a day off.
Do you think the government missed a trick in that when we added an additional bank holiday, St. Bridget's Day, I think it is, around the start of February, that it should have perhaps been switch to Good Friday and recognise the workers that you talk of? I mean, that was its motivation to begin with.
Yeah, and look, you know, it was very welcome that we have an additional public holiday now in Loyola Breda on St. Bridget's Day. But the reality actually is that Ireland tends to be at the bottom of the rankings when we compare Ireland across every other EU member state with the number of public holidays that we have in this country. So we have 10 public holidays now. The average across the EU is about 13. And I think, you know, like there's a debate about whether we should have more public holidays. But I suppose going back to my original point, some businesses and some workplaces treat it like a public holiday and others do not.
You'll have some businesses where within it, depending on when people started or not, that it is a public holiday for some and not for others.
This week every year, I usually get a whole litany of inconsistencies but people telling me, you know, stories of their workplace is closed, but this other workplace is open. So, you know, ultimately, it's to say if you want to open as a workplace, fantastic. That's great. But let's have a look at, you know, what workers are actually paid on that day. And ultimately, this is part of the wider conversation about how we support all workers, but particularly low-paid workers in this country. And there is a very serious and chronic issue.
So are you saying really this is what the net result of this might not be more people off? The reality is in the people that you're talking of, it's people who might get a day in lieu or get extra pay for actually working that day anyway, mostly perhaps in the services industries and what have you.
Precisely, Greg. Like, as in, the reality is, since the change in the licensing laws, you know, like, as in with regards to Good Friday, that, you know, Good Friday is typically a very good day for many in the hospitality sector. Like, I know myself that there's certain events scheduled for Good Friday because of the uniqueness of the day. So ultimately, it is not about seeing more places close, but actually ensuring that the workers, those who have to work on Good Friday, are recognised accordingly.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, it's a nice call. I can't see the government doing anything on it in the short term anyway, but it opens up a conversation to see what the general public think as well. But thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Greg.
Have a nice day. Senator Marie Sherlock, Labour Workers' Rights Spokesperson. Would you be in favour of Good Friday being a public holiday for all? 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts to that number. Just to remind you once again, for the first time this year, I believe, Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdur Garden Centres in Letterkenny is going to be in studio with us a little later on taking all your gardening questions. As I say, it's that time of the year where if you are lucky enough to have a garden or perhaps even some indoor planting, whatever, window box is probably too early for that. But we'll find out what you should be doing in and around the house to brighten the place up, I suppose. But any questions that you might have, get them into us now. 086 60 25,000. That's for WhatsApps and texts. So give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Did you know, and recently we were, as you know, did a show in Brussels, and a conversation came up in Brussels about pickpockets, the sign up on windows of various presents says, I can't speak today, my apologies, premises saying pickpockets operating in this area. And maybe if you go to London or Brussels or Paris or Barcelona, you might think that you're not safe. But when you come home, you are. Maybe not, because Ireland is actually in the top 10 list of pickpocketing holiday destinations. Travel insurance experts QuoteZone have revealed their pickpocket index. According to the Mirror, it ranks the most popular European holiday destination by the proportion of pickpocketing mentions in visitors' reviews. Italy and France have the two highest numbers of mentions. Ireland comes in ninth with 30 mentions of pickpocketing per 1 million visitors. A very low rate, but we're in the top 10. And often we go away and we're all worried about what might happen to us and what have you. And perhaps maybe sometimes you're in more danger at home. Who's to say? 086 60 25,000 if you want to get a view on that. Right, I want to say hello to a gentleman's wife and daughter. It's Tommy Redmond. His wife and daughter are holidaying with his wife's parents at their home just outside Carrigart this week. They listen to the show every morning, and I was hoping you could arrange for a mention for my wife Claire Redmond, my daughter Freya, and my in-laws Dominic and Janice McGeehan. Dominic and Janice, you're very welcome to Donegal again. I know they are enjoying their time together, so if you could say hi from Stewarton in Ayrshire on the west coast of Scotland, that would be wonderful and really make their day. Claire and Freya return home on Thursday. So we got the mention in on time. So I hope you're having a lovely time here in Donegal, up in Carrigart. And I know you listen to the show. It's great to have you listening, if you are, here in Ireland. Okay, enjoy your stay and enjoy the area. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. And we're joined on the programme now by Mark. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Greg.
Good to have you on the programme. Okay, right. So obviously,
thank you.
We've been talking about the housing crisis this morning, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. You've spotted something in your area that doesn't sort of make sense, I suppose, in this environment then.
No, I live in Letterkenny, but it just happened to be up around the phone quite a lot. And there's a social housing scheme there on development since before the COVID. And it was locked down and all. And then these houses have been lying now since before Christmas, and there's been no further work done on them. And I asked them, some of the people, the local people, and they said that the bond there's gone bust. And just there's been this
Mark, unfortunately, listen, I can't hear a word you're saying there. I don't know if it's the telephone line or how you're holding the phone. Do you want us to reconnect with you, or can you maybe get into a more sheltered area?
Hello?
Yeah, no, I can't. We'll reconnect with Mark. Is that okay, Caroline? My apologies. It's just I simply just can't hear him. And if I can't hear him with headphones on, there's just no chance that you listening wherever you are might be able to do so. And it's an important point. Okay. Just a quick reminder, by the way, because there's only a couple of short days left for you to be in with a chance to win €15,000 prize here at Highland Radio. It's a €10,000 travel voucher in association with our friends at Atlantic Travel, and €5,000 cash, described as spending money, but you can do with it what you wish, of course. You can win that prize worth 15 grand in total by buying a ticket in our Holiday of a Lifetime with Highland Radio competition. Just go onto our website, by the way, highlandradio.com. You can get one ticket for a tenner if you wish, and if you can afford it, of course, you know. If you want to get six, you can pay 50, so they're cheaper. If you want to get 10, you can pay 80. So if you want to gift them out or group in with other people and get them cheaper at the time, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that, but anyway, but I know that's what I would do. If there was six people in the house, I'd say, well, listen, I'll buy the tickets. You all give me the €8, wherever it is, as a deduction. But anyway, that's by the by. I'm just tight. The lines close on Thursday morning, and the draw will be made thereafter. So if you want to be in with a chance to win, get in. Now, this is not a, you know, 60, 70, 80,000 entry competition here that you might see on Facebook, what have you. This is our competition here for us in the Northwest, and other people can enter, of course, but you know what I mean. So you're in with a good chance of winning, a better chance of winning, should I say. I don't want to misrepresent it. Highlandradio.com, click on Win a Holiday, answer a simple question, then choose whether you want one, six or 10 tickets. And if you don't want to, it's perfectly safe and secure and quick and easy. But if you want to give us a call, 07491 25000, we'll sort you out that way as well right now. So we'll be giving that money away actually on Thursday morning. 15 grand in total, a 10,000 euro voucher for one massive holiday or multiple smaller holidays, and €5,000 in cash. Right. I stopped watching The Late Late Show years ago. I would just occasionally tune in to try and get back into it, but all of the shows on RTE have the same faces now. It is typical RTE and their nepotism that no one else got a look in, and they all just seem to look after their own. I don't understand it either. But you see, what it is someone's afraid to make big decisions. Like even the Dancing with the Stars, I don't watch that show, but it was a presenter on their radio station that won it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, what does that do to the wider public? And not an awful lot of people listen to that radio show either. But anyway, I say if they should be brave, throw the net wider and see who they could get in, launch new talent, make a new superstar. I mean, who made the superstars the likes of Eamon Andrews, you might remember, Graham Norton, Terry Wogan, you know, and the list is endless. They got Jerry Kelly and on and on and on, you know. people that did very well here and then went on to sort of international success. They're not doing that now. It's the same pot of older people too, by the way. And can I say, I can say that, right? Because I'm in the ballpark of Tuberty and Clare and the others that are being considered for that. You know, give someone in their early 30s a chance, or late 20s, or I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Be brave, but they're not. It's the same old faces. And if you don't get the Late Late Show job, you're going to get an interview on it anyway, such as the small pool that they draw talent from. Why can't they just get good driving instructors from different countries to go to other countries and get all the waiting lists down? It's common sense. Gets all those waiting to learn to drive a chance too. Okay, but they tried that with the NCTs. They tried to change some of the dynamics of who works in NCTs and bring other people in. There was a resistance from unions to that. Could that be the same in this sector? I don't know. A caller says, I doubt they are in a bubble at RTE, government bubble. Nobody else gets a look in. Right, okay, is Mark back with us now? Hi, Mark.
Hi, Greg.
All right, that's a little bit better because it's an important point you're making. Right, okay. So you're from Letterkenny, but you noticed a project being developed in Rafoe. Talk to me about it.
It's been on now for, must be at least 3 years. And there didn't seem to be any real move on it at the start, you know, they were like that quick on the ball. And then the lockdown came along, and after the lockdown, it sort of opened up again. And more work getting done on it. The roofs were put on, the houses and stuff. The windows went in, it was plastered. But just then the builders went away, and there's been a fence pulled around the site there since, I think, before Christmas time. And nobody's come back near it now. And from what I know, the builders gone bust. And the council doesn't seem to have made any shape to make it.
All right. I don't know the status of the builder, but these are fine houses. It doesn't look like it would take an awful lot to get them into
looking
use.
Looking at them from the outside, they look like if you have the footrests and the steps and services hooked up, like you'd be good to go. But I believe there's a lot of work to be done on the side. They're just more or less shells.
Mm.
They're just empty shells.
Right, okay. But still, with the will, there's a way.
Sorry?
If there was a will, there would be a way to get them into to use very quickly, I'd imagine.
Well, the current housing climate, you would think that would be a move on these to get them finished up and get people moved out.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
What's been talked about in the radio this morning, it's terrible to see that site lying the way it's right.
100%, 100%. All right, Mark, thanks for your point. I appreciate you coming on. Again, apologies, the line wasn't great. Mark's busy. We appreciate his time this morning. Good morning. Can you get some info on ESB smart meters that are to be fitted? What are they? How do they work? Thank you. Well, we did a feature on those when the rollout began and was well underway not so long ago. Maybe it is something we can revisit. Hi, Greg. Just wanted to highlight if people seen the video circulating on social media regarding the door staff in a nightclub in Northern Ireland where he looks to headbutt a young man. Thought it was sickening to watch when these people are there to protect you. Hope our door staff in this county do not act in the same manner. For the most part, no, of course not. It is sickening. It happens, though it happens regularly. That one was filmed, but those videos, I don't watch them personally because I couldn't... really like to see someone get hurt like that, but it does happen. That's just the bottom line. Hopefully the licensed premises is held to account for it. Well, Greg, I believe you should be able to do as you please with your property. If that means you want to turn it into an Airbnb so that you can have your place back at short notice, why not? Housing is a government issue, and it's not fair for housing solutions to be pushed upon the likes of you and me. I know you don't have a second property, Greg, but that doesn't mean it won't happen someday. You could potentially be left property in a will. You've got some rich listeners out there. I don't think we're left one in a will either. But no, I do understand your point, and I have made it on a couple of occasions here on this show that, you know, people don't tell you what to do with your pension or other investments. And I know some people invested in property or found themselves with a property. We've spoken to them. The government already has an awful lot of control over what you can do with it. Make no mistake. The the soon to be established, if they can get it across the line, the soon to be established rules as it relates to Airbnb, the net effect of that is that they can decide where housing need is most and effectively switch the tap off on Airbnb and coerce or encourage homeowners to give that property for long-term rents. And that's not for everyone either, but that's effectively what that law would do. If it was initially to be in rent pressure zones, and then they've sort of spread it out to be wherever. And if they say, right, we need more properties in Donegal, well, they don't issue the planning permission for Airbnbs in Donegal, and then people will say, right, well, we need some return from it. So what we'll do is we'll put it into the long-term rental market. So it's coercion, if it's not control, at least. Some people, though, think that's the right thing to do. I mean, we asked independent Thomas Pringle what he would do if he were in power or had influence, and he said no tax or very little tax for long-term renters and tax Airbnb providers to the hilt. So there is that a political mindset out there as well, and made no bones about it either. All right, okay. Kieran Sheridan is with the Health Division of SIPDU for Donegal. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Kieran,
good morning,
thank you for joining us. Right, now, retired SIPDU members, representatives, are presenting themselves to HSE offices in Manor Hamilton in a step up in their campaign over pension arrears. So what's the background to this this action, Kieran, please?
Greg, as a background, I work in health in Donegal, but I also am a coordinator of the Sligo Leitrim and Roscommon District Council, and we have a retired members committee. And there is issues that's relevant to retired personnel. Our committee met last week and members had expressed concerns about monies that were pension rises that they were owed going as far back as the 2nd of February 2022, and they haven't received them. And again, we're all aware of the cost of living crisis and the cost of energy and inflation, and we've even seen a figure of 13% for food inflation last week. Our pensioners are under pressure. And this is money that they're owed, that they've made contributions to. And there's a member that I spoke to last week, and just to give you the personal element of it, a gentleman, a very, very proud member, who gives decades of exemplary service, and I do stress decades of exemplary service, who was actually caught up in a scenario he was going to have to contact family members for a help out, for a handout, because he was actually struggling to pay an electricity bill. And that's the human effect. Mm.
Now, this isn't a top-up or a bonus or a boost. This is money that was agreed but has yet to be paid.
Yes, Greg. I suppose if you go back in time, pensions would have been linked to pay rises. You know what I mean? Not index-linked, but as pay progression proceeds to the public service, there's a set fee also goes to pensioners. So if I get 2% as a public servant, the pensioner also should get 2%. So in the last pay deal, to just give you the figures, there was 3% agreed from the 2nd of February, 1.5% from the 1st of October 2022, and 2% from the 1st of March just gone. And there's been no payment issued. None whatsoever.
Has there been any explanation issued?
We issued a correspondence last Friday to the HSE advising that we have a delegation going to Manor Hamilton this morning. And we asked two questions. One was the reason for the delay, and two, a timeline for payment. We received an ambiguous email that has actually raised more need for clarifications than given us any definitive answers, to say that they're quoting a circular that ceased to exist from 2020 on, and they're basically saying they're looking after 44,000 retirees across the country, and to go through everyone on an individual basis. Like, this is shocking in the extreme, because we would have understood, you know, with payroll systems and the massive capital investment into payroll structures and pensions, you would imagine that, you know, okay, there is financial governance and proper audit, and once all those rules are met, you would think it would be a simple version of input and data, and that the computer system or the IT system should just be able to come out with a result rather than individually going through every individual person. But like, there's 44,000 members or 44,000 retirees across the country, we understand, is affected by this. So we're going up there this morning at 10:30. There is a delegation. We believe at the 11th hour it was indicated to us that there was nobody available. But I think this was just an effort to avoid actually meeting our members, and because members were going to give personal narratives of how it's affecting them.
All right, shall we hear one of those, if that's okay? Porrig, excuse me, is with us and is a pension holder and affected by this. Porrig, thanks for taking the call this morning.
No problem. Thanks very much yourself.
And what's your situation, Porrig, as much as you want to talk about and how this is impacting on you?
Well, the main reason that I'm going to Manor Hamilton this morning is that, you know, this pay increase is due since the 2nd of February 2022. And I suppose if to put that into perspective for your listeners, that's 3 weeks before Russia invaded Ukraine. And, you know, we're all aware of all that has happened in the world since then. It's been a long time, nearly 15 months at this stage. The cost of living increases have been substantial. And I'm not exempt any more than anybody else. My wife is a pensioner, the same as I am. And, you know, I mean, we have been reasonable. We understood that, you know, when I was a worker, I always understood that the workers got their, excuse me, their pay calculated and their increases, and the pensioners were a little bit behind. But I don't think it's reasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that after 15 months we'd have our arrears got and our basic pay updated.
Yeah, it has been well over a year now, as you've just outlined. And we heard there from Kieran. And it seems to be that what the HSE is saying is that they have to go through every one of the 44,000 people individually to check their... I mean, that I don't know how long that would take.
To me, it doesn't make much sense because, I mean, I'm sure you are as aware as I am of the PPAR system that was put into place. And, I mean, we were told after all the millions and millions that it cost that anything could be done just at the press of a button, that this was going to be the real deal for the future. So I can't understand. I really can't understand why they would have to go through everybody's pension, because, like, I retired a while ago, and I mean it took 3 months nearly for my pension to be paid to me when I retired. So I mean there was quite a lot of effort put into calculating my pension. I have no doubt it was correct. And I kind of see why they just don't have the percentage increase to it. One would imagine that it is, as we were told at that stage, that anything that for the future, that this was future proof, that all it took was the push of a button and anything could be calculated at that stage.
Yep.
So I have issues about that. I worry about where it's leading. I suppose we're all kind of half paranoid in Ireland at the moment that somebody is trying to take something off us.
Yeah, well, listen.
I'm no different than anybody else.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, too, well, you are different to other people in this way, in that we are, most of us are, feeling the pressures of inflation. You quite rightly referenced all the increases in costs. It's even worse for you, though, because your income is much less than it should be. So you're feeling the cost of living crisis, the inflation situation, worse than...
The cost of living crisis has affected everybody in Ireland. But, you know, I would arguably say, and I'm not trying to corner the market, that it has affected pensioners as much, if not more than others. Because, you know, pensioners are trying to do the best by their families. How many, I mean, and I'm sure you're well aware of too, how many people have come back to live at home in the last year? Because whether they can't get accommodation in Dublin, or they can't afford to live in Dublin. And they're coming back and they're living with their parents, and the parents are trying to help them out with mortgages, or they're trying to help them out, you know,
with deposits or whatever it might be.
With their deposits, or even with money to live from week to week, with the cost of childcare and the cost of everything else. You know, it's gone extremely difficult for people to live at this stage. The grandparents and the pensioners are always there to help out. But, you know, they're feeling the pinch themselves now.
Well, you also have to have, you also have worked very hard and contributed to best assure yourself, and you did believe you were doing so, to give you a decent standard of living in your retirement so you can enjoy the time with your wife And that's been taken from you because of the delays in this money being given to you. Parig, listen, thank you for helping us understand that greater. Kieran Sheridan with the Health Division of SIPDU for Donegal. I mean, do you believe, especially given that most latest response, that the can's been kicked down the road, this is being pushed on to a different administration, or do you believe that the systems simply aren't there to process them as you to process these increases as you would like to see?
I'd be shocked if the systems aren't in place, Greg, because as Parik said, there's been massive investment. You know, we're hearing anecdotal stuff that there's a staffing crisis in pensions, and, you know, maybe if that's true, it needs to be addressed. But we actually believe at the minute it's kicked the can down the road to buy time. We've got an 11th hour offer to meet us in 3 weeks' time. That's not acceptable. You know what I mean? We've been more than reasonable, as Parik has said. We've 15 months waiting. There's money's owed. There's people living week to week, you know, like, I'm not going to say, repeat what Parik said, but, you know, people, it's in crisis mode. People cannot go on.
Okay.
They just cannot go on. Like, it's shocking. Like, it's having a massive negative impact on the quality of life after decades of exemplary public service.
All right, Kieran, well, representations are being made at 10:30, so we'll let you go. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, listeners.
Kieran Sheridan there, and Parik, back with more after the news and obituary notices.